Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I try to upload an episode once a week, once every other week, just kind of depending upon the schedule and my own schedule. I was super busy this past week, so I apologize for not getting an episode up to you guys. I really want to be consistent this summer because we got a lot of great kickboxing action. I'm excited for the year to come. So definitely thank you for those who've been staying with me. Also, the other and the most efficient way to get my podcast is to go through the iTunes search engine, enter Warman Kickfighting Show, and my podcast pops right up. So get right into the action. First of all, one of the reasons why I was away was my fighter, Cooley. He's the first fighter I ever cornered, first fighter was ever a champion for me. He won a Muay Thai title. He won another stand-up or kickboxing title just a couple days ago. I am so grateful for this, you know, this young man who was supposed to be right in the beginning, and he took some time away from the sport, and he came back, and he showed that he still had the skill. Great combination of low kick work, got the guy in trouble with the legs, and then that brought him, his opponent kept bending over, and it gave us opportunity for a big knee. So we got a big KO there. So shout out to my fighter, Koo. A lot of people know me for the MMA guys that I've worked with throughout the years, Johnny Hendricks, and my time at Team Takedown, and of course Abdul Razak Al-San, who I've had from the very beginning of my career. I'm grateful for all these fighters who have helped me and who have put me in a position to be where this could, you know, my hobby became my job one day. But definitely thank you so much for Koo for sticking with me, and it was a pleasure for me to see him become a champion again, because he really is a super talent. And on top of being a super talent, just a real cool guy who's, you know, pushed through life, and I'm glad that he has returned to the sport. So we'll go ahead and jump into the action. I'm going to give you a little bit of everything today. You know, I've been gone. I had this weird situation where I moved, and as soon as I moved into the house that I'm in, you know, my new house, the house that I'll die in, the cable guy to set up our internet, we hit him up. I'm like, clearly it's going to take like 3-4 days. And they gave us like 9 days because they're the only people in the area that does internet for us. And that's just brutal. But anyways, that's what took me so long to get this up. I'm back today, and I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you a stadium. I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to give you infusion. I'm going to give you K1. We're going to talk about the kickboxing world as it stands. Let's have a good one. First of all, we go into the stadiums, and we're just going to start off with what some people are already calling the fight of the year. The battle back and forth between Kulabdam and Muang Thai, which is absolutely epic. We're talking, they are exchanging big-time elbows, big-time punches, and the fun part about this is both guys seem to have moments. So there are exchanges, and the exchanges are always awesome. But sometimes it's just as cool when someone is winning for like 15 seconds and then the other guy starts winning for like 15 seconds. And that makes up what the round is. And that's what this fight was. So Muang Thai was the clearly, you know, and he's always in these kind of battles, he was the savvier of the two. He was able to land a lot of boxing, a lot of step-up knees, and he was able to get his kicks going. Whereas Kulabdam was more the aggressor. Like, he would score like kicks in spots, but really he got into his punch flurries. He really let his left hand go to the body and upstairs, and he would have moments where it looked like, okay, he's about to, you know, knock Muang Thai out. And then the moment you think it's going to happen, the moment he lands like 15 seconds of unanswered offense, then all of a sudden here comes Muang Thai, who's landing big in the clinch, who's landing sweeps. Big sweeps were really, really big scores for Muang Thai in this one. In the fourth round, after just this epic back and forth, and as I said before, it just, one person will win 20 seconds, the other person will win 30, the next person will win 15, the next person will win 15, and it just, that was the flow to it, nonstop, over and over and over. That was how this game was played, this fight was played out. And then you had the most telling moment, which really set up for an awesome round five, was after a straight left hand went downstairs, Kulabdam closed the distance and landed a sharp left upstairs that put Muang Thai down. Muang Thai got up, took the 8 count, and the moment he'd taken the 8 count, there was no time whatsoever for Kulabdam to come in and press his advantage, because Muang Thai went right back to work. He landed a sharp elbow that looked like it hurt Kulabdam, but Kulabdam wasn't, you know, like in trouble like how Muang Thai was in trouble. But after that, he just went to work and kept scoring a lot of offense. The round ends, and they go into the fifth. And in the fifth, clearly, because he's got the knockdown, Kulabdam is trying to look for moments for offense, but mostly he's just trying to stay in his feet and keep his distance. And that's where Muay Thai went to work. He started scoring a lot of sweeps, a lot of kicks to the body. He scored like two head kicks in a row. You know, just he just kept working and working and trying to get it back in the scorecards. Then after it was all said and done, they go to the scorecards and it's a draw. And it's one of the most pleasing draws you're ever going to get. Normally I hate draws. I had a draw happen to me this past weekend. You know, I thought my guy won two rounds for sure. And, you know, we thought we won one and three. And then we had a, you know, split draw. And that just, you know, completely was out of the question when when I got in the cage. I didn't think it was possible at all that that was going to happen. But anyways, we got a split draw. And I felt unsatisfied. When I watched this fight, I felt very satisfied that it was a draw because it was such, it told so many stories. Like, the fight told so many stories. Another guy's winning. The other guy's winning. This technique is scoring. This technique is scoring. You're seeing the body kicks. You're seeing the head kicks. You're seeing the sweeps. You're seeing the elbows. You're seeing Muay Thai at its best. And I believe, you know, I've said it about kick fighting, whether it's Muay Thai or kickboxing, I feel like their combat sports product, when they put on their best performance, is the best combat sports product to watch. Like, I would take, you know, Shahid Zambides over most of the fights that I've ever seen in my life. It's that great of a fight. So this fight is clearly up there for, you know, candidate for fight of the year. You know, there's a lot of other ones that, was that Moiseev and Ben Mo are the other one that I had on my list. But this one's probably in the lead. It's for sure probably going to win for the stadium. But it was just an awesome, awesome fight. Very, very pleased to watch it. Really, really enjoyed the back and forth in this one. Next fight I'm going to talk about, same Lumpini Stadium card. And this, again, having a full house, it took Lumpini a little bit to get going because they moved in an area where you can't get to easily. The last location was really easy to get to. This one, we had talked about it before when you guys, for those who heard the old podcast, when I had Cox on, Rob Cox did a good job of explaining how the Raja Stadium was emerging because Lumpini Stadium had moved to an area where it was difficult for the locals to get to. So it wasn't as popular and it wasn't something that you could get to. And I remember watching going to the old Lumpini Stadium myself. So it was a little bit tougher for them. But since then, you know, things have picked up, whether it's Uber or whatever you want to call it. There's a lot more people, and that was a full house for that fight card. And it really, really made the environment of Kulab Dam and Muay Thai that much better. Adding to it, Sakim and Mung Kong Ditlek put on a pretty good fight. A lot of clinch, a lot of work in close. They pummeled well, a lot of knees and elbows. Body kicks were here and there, but mostly Sakim realized early that he could get into the clinch battle. He had taken some shots, but I really thought that after a very close battle and, you know, in the grapple, I thought that there was a lot of good scores, but I thought that there were moments at the end of the fourth in particular where Sakim just really turned up the knees. Like, he realized he had the advantage, and there was a period of time where he threw like 7 or 8 unanswered knees. Maybe there might have been one return knee in there, but it was mostly all, you know, Mung Kong Ditlek holding on and trying to push Sakim into the ropes to stifle the knees, whereas Sakim was going for the fight, really pushing it, really doubling up on the knees. He was the rightful winner at the end of this one. Very entertaining clinch battle. The last fight I want to talk about is the KO that came from Kokai as he took out Kukwan in one of the earlier fights, it looked like, on the OMPD fight. This one was posted recently, and it really, really was a sick KO. I'm going to go ahead and break it down for you. First and foremost, I'm breaking all these fights down from Muay Thai's. Hit up Muay Thai's. I've talked about them on the podcast several times before. Muay Thai's, M-U-A-Y, and then Thai's like a necktie, T-I-E-S. You've got to be subscribed to them. You got to see the good stuff that they're doing on a regular basis. Like, you're doing yourself a disfavor if you're not looking at what Timo Rug, that's the gentleman. You can find him on Facebook, T-I-M-O-R-U-G-E. He does a lot of the filming of these, and Muay Thai is just one of the special things about, you know, just watching, being a part of high-level stadium fighting, and Timo's done a great job of bringing that to us on a regular basis. One of these days, I'm going to have to get him on the podcast. I tried to do it before. It didn't work out. I'm going to do it in the future. He's awesome. He did a great job of recording these. But one of the more recent ones is the Kokai KO over Kukwan. it started off real early where Kukai sent the message that he was going to sit down on his shots. He threw hook elbows. He threw power low kicks. He was just steady. So this fight, as soon as you see it, if you watch a stadium fight and it's recorded from round one, you know there was a KO. You know what I'm saying? Because usually they don't rock all five of them online. They show you three, four, five when things pick up, and that's usually the fight that you get. Here in this situation, I'm telling you, he just started off so powerful. And Kukwan had moments where he would like be able to land a single kick, but he never got into his rhythm because he had taken so many, you know, deep low kicks that some of them he'd kick and then try to get his check up because he's already in trouble. So the Thais, if you've ever seen how Thais take low kicks, rarely do you see them show the damage from the low. More they get hurt, try to hide it, get hurt, try to hide it, and then all of a sudden it's too late. Like they go down, maybe you see it hurt for one shot, and then the next shot puts them down. But they usually hold on and don't show the pain for as long as they possibly can. And that's what happened, you know, for most of this fight. But Kukai did not get put away by the low kicks, even though his legs were hurt from them. He got put away by an awesome elbow, and Kukwan did not go down from the low kicks. He was put away by an awesome elbow after landing over and over, kick to the lead leg, kick to the rear leg, hook elbow. He kept playing with it over and over. He found that Kukwan was trying to move to the clinch to neutralize the low kick work that he was doing. So instead, Kukai stepped in, he throws his hook, and he throws it at the guard hand. So it would be the left hand that was going to play the guard as they are moving in to go into the clinch grapple. He hits Kukwan's left hand with his left hand, and it opens up an avenue for him to throw the right elbow. Elbow lands clean, KO, out smooth. Really, really good stuff by Kukai. Really good stuff by the stadiums. It's always fun when the stadiums deliver at such a high level. And these three fights, you know, clearly I can't keep up with all of them, but I got to do a better job of focusing on the bigger stadium fights and bringing you guys like Muay Thai, who I've talked about in this podcast before. I wanted to make sure I didn't fail you and got you guys that high level stadium action on the podcast today. Let's go ahead and go into the glory event that took place in England. It was a fun card, top to bottom. We'll go ahead and go through it. I'll talk about the fights some, talk about the storylines more. Vinny Church gets victory over Ben Osil. Split decision there. You know how glory does. We've got five judges, 28-29 one way, and then 30-27, 29-28, 29-28, 29-28 for Vinny Church. Vinny Church, skilled guy. You know, I want to see him against higher level opposition. I thought this was a good fight to have for your, you know, kind of a glory showcase, if you will. He had some adversity, but he also had some really good moments. Want to see more of Church, and I want to see him against more international names. And, of course, you know, there's more of a Muay Thai style for the majority of the fighters in England, but I was pleased with Vinny's, you know, output, and hopefully we'll see him again down the road. Christy Barrington gets a victory over Nicola Calle, Christy, I've seen her fight several times, seen her fight in, you know, Infusion, and she was fighting, had a baby, came back to fight again, and it's good to see her win. Hopefully, Glory can use her on a consistent basis. She works really, really hard. Definitely want to see what's going to come from her moving down the road. Shout out to Christy Barrington and the family. Really, really good performance, and it's all about getting you another fight. Good win for Christy. She's fought some of the best fighters in the world. You know, she fought Denise Kielholtz back in the day. She's very, very tough, so I'm excited to see more from her. Kevin Ward gets a victory over Wilker Barros. Split decision victory, and in this split decision, it's a really good outcome, you know, for Kevin Ward. But I want to see more of him. You know, anything he does is a win for me. And I guess this was kind of a move in the right direction. Wilker Barros had some really good moments too. But both of these guys are in spots where more fights are going to tell me more about them, you know. Didn't go Wilker's way, but it's not the end of the world for him. Kevin Ward, I've mentioned him on the podcast before. I'm excited to see more from them down the road, but this is just kind of a starter. You know, this one is an appetizer. I want to see them against more international competition. So Kevin Ward, hopefully that's coming. Jamie Bates gets a victory over Tommy King. Bates can really, really kickbox. I mean, he's got a good feel for distance. He has really good punches, really good movement. He's hard to track. Tommy King had some moments. He's a powerful guy. He was looking to let those power shots go, but he couldn't keep up with Bates' movement and savvy scoring and just well-timed offense. Bates has got a weird rhythm to him. You know, it's not a basic combination low kick type of rhythm. He can score, score, move, score, score, move, score, move. Like he kind of plays with different rhythms to how he lets his offense go. Very, very tough guy. Very tough guy. I really like Bates. I like his savviness, and I like that his style is a little bit different. Mark Timms gets a victory, and Mark Timms, Jamie Bates, Tommy King, and Dawid Blaski were all part of a four-man welterweight tournament. The winner of the tournament will be decided in a fight later in the year. But Mark Timms gets a victory over Dawid Blaski. Blaski, similar. Like, came out, had some very powerful moments, very strong guy, very confident. Came out very successful in spots. But man, Mark Timms was just a better, savvier kickboxer over time. Was able to score some pretty big shots. I liked his movement. I liked that he didn't get into a slugfest. He slugged at the right time, moved at the right time. Good stuff for Mark Timms. Him and Jamie Bates should be a good one later in the year. Elvis Gashi gets another victory. He remains undefeated as a kickboxer. He gets a victory over William Goldie Galloway. Let me tell you something about William Goldie Galloway. I'm all in on you, young man. You really performed well. Very good kickboxer, explosive. Just got the defense part he didn't have. Elvis Gashi, there were points where Gashi would double and triple up on the left hand, get into his combination flow. He was stronger for the weight class. You could see that, you know, Galloway was a young up-and-comer who was really going to try to, you know, push and be something. Like, you could see that was in his future. Like he's got the youth and he's got the experience, but and he's getting the experience, but he needs the strength too. And part of strength is just feeling the power of other guys. He's a young guy. I think they said he was 21 years old. I can't wait to see Galloway down the road. As for Gashi, I'll be there ringside when he fights Nick Chastain in Glory. That's going to happen in the 20th of July, and should be a lot of fun. He's always getting better, always moving forward, always improving as a pro. Gashi put himself in good position. He's the kind of guy who I expect to be fighting for a title. A fight with Christian Baia later in the year after the Nick Chastain fight would be good, unless he loses the Nick Chastain fight, then we'll just move into another direction. But anything that's good for anything with Gashi competing is good for the sport, because he really is an entertaining guy. He's the right level of offensive effectiveness and also the right level of vulnerability. So he's a lot of fun to watch, and I can't wait to see more of Gashi, and I can't wait to see more of William Goldie Galloway. That kid is good. Murat Grigoryan gets a victory over Liu Xu. Very dominant, 30-27. I think the only thing people were disappointed in was Murat wasn't able to get a KO stoppage in his return to glory. But the dude can kickbox. His combination low kick flow is good. He was very, very patient in this one. When he was younger, him and his brother would just walk close to someone and just start throwing heat. Just combination low kicks. Look to be aggressive until his guy was out of there. He showed a little bit more methodical movement. He scored a lot in Liu Xu. Liu Xu seemed determined to go the distance and did so. So definitely shout out to Liu Xu. We'll see what happens to him down the road. Murat Grigoryan, man, did he bring good offensive effectiveness. Always want to see him fight. Coming off the big, you know, KO win earlier in the year, you know, over Superbon. He's just a legit fighter. Everything's good for Murat Grigoryan. Adam Hetfield gets a victory over Richard Abraham. It was a split. Richard had some moments where he was able to let his combinations go and get to his, you know, because he's a combination fighter, whether just with the boxing or with the boxing to the low kicks. But the thing that is a struggle for him sometimes is the physicality of bigger guys. So I thought Adam Hetfield, who, you know, his kickboxing was okay. But I think the thing that was the difference was his physical toughness. He imposed himself on Richard in that third round and he moved forward. So as Richard grows as a fighter, I'm sure he'll address the strength thing, because his combination flow and his offensive output is really good. But sometimes it's just the physicality of those bigger guys that can slow him. Whereas Adam Hetfield, you know, he performed well. Clearly, I think he could be more offensively effective, you know, as he moves forward. And I'm sure even in himself, he's like, you know, there's a better version of me still to come. But the strength that he displayed in the weight class, that will show up in any fight. So good stuff for Adam Hetfield. Josh Jauncey gets a victory over Christian Baia and the best fight on the card for me. I thought that Jauncey did a good job of kickboxing, got into his combination and low kick flow. Christian Baia, I thought, started great in round one. I thought Christian Baia fought better this fight than he did in their first fight, and that was the fight that he won. I thought that he came out with real clean, you know, straight right hands, got into his combo flow. I think he had Jauncey in the move. Jauncey was doing his kickboxing low kick flow in spots, but it just wasn't going consistently. I thought round two, Jonty had it down. He had the movement. Baia had won round one for me clear, but Jonty had really picked up on the work in round two, scoring with the boxing and the movement. So it's 1-1 going into the third. I thought that it was still pretty even. Christian Baia having moments, Jonty returning with good kickboxing moments, and then all of a sudden, as they were stepping, closing the range on each other, Jonty snuck a knee in there. He wasn't sure where it was going to score, but it got up and it got Baia on the temple. Baia was clearly in trouble. Jonty closed the distance, threw a couple more power shots. He wasn't able to get, you know, a KO stoppage or a knockdown, but he did the work that he needed to secure round three. Goes to the cards, and we had split decision. One was 29-28 for Baia. The other, and the others were 29-28, all four for Josh Jonty. Very good stuff. Jonty has the natural tools to be the best fighter in the world. He's born with those gifts. He's a great athlete. Guy can do, you know, backflips and, you know, round offs and just, it's, he can do anything, you know, acrobatically, it seems, because he's so coordinated. He's got good hand, you know, hand speed, good kickboxing flow. He's just the kind of athlete you want to see. You know, you want to see him fight. Baia is in a great spot. Nothing's going to go wrong with Christian Baia. Anything's good for him. As I mentioned before, if we have success, with Gashi has success in New York, by the end of the year, I would love if Baia fought, you know, Gashi. That would be a lot of fun. So, really good stuff for Jeff Jonty. Really good stuff for Christian Baia in defeat. Daniel Yunga continues to put on impressive performances. This one against Frazier Waitman. Frazier Waitman's got a weird rhythm to how he fights. He will sporadic body kick, sporadic, you know, 1-2, sporadic jab, but he never found himself in a kickboxing flow. And I've seen him get that flow before, but for whatever reason, he just couldn't find it this time. Daniel Yunga could find it. Combinations, low kicks to hand combinations to low kicks, step knees and spots. He just outscored Frazier, and it's almost like Frazier was getting used to that step-up opportunity for the first time, and it kept him from finding the offense the way he wants to. Now, it's very important, and I say this all the time, it's important for young, up-and-coming stars to feel that, to feel what it's like when it doesn't go your way. Like, that's very, very, very important. And for me, watching this one and watching how, Frazier was responding, I said, okay, at this age, I really truly believe that there's a chance that one day you are going to be a very, very tough guy at light heavyweight. But you needed to feel what it's like to go against someone elite. Now that you felt it, the next time you go out there, you'll be able to use a few more of your tools. As for Daniel Yunga, it was announced he will be fighting for the Glory Light Heavyweight Championship against Vakadov in Denver, and I will be at that one too, and that is going to be the 10th of August. So good stuff for Daniel as he moves forward. Xiaolong Zhang gets a victory over Adrian Maxim, and Zhang's had success in Glory. He's a very, very good fighter. He's one of the Chinese fighters that you really want to pay attention to. He's got good boxing, good kicks. Maxim is a good fighter. I just thought that Zhang's just a step above. Two of the judges gave Maxim one of the rounds, but man, Zhang's tough. He's all set to go. I'm pretty sure he will be on the card in China at the end of August. So man, everything is good for this guy. He is a talent. He's really, really good. Hopefully he stays consistent. They keep him fighting, and we'll see where it leads him, because he is in a division that, of course, is always going to need new stars. A lot of familiar names always float to the top when you think about Glory Featherweight. So, also, when you think about our lightweight division, anything with new names will be good, and Zhang, I think, is one of those talents. Bailey Sugnan and Alexei Olenov ruled a no contest, accidental headbutt. That's unfortunate. You know, Bailey Sugnan, he was in front of his hometown crowd, I won't say his hometown crowd, but very close to it. He wanted to have a performance where he was able to score clean kickboxing and get a W. Alexei Olenov, very talented as well. It just sometimes it happens, fellas. Bailey had a weird response after it happened. So hopefully as we move forward, they'll do it again. They could put this fight on any card. I like Bailey Sugden. He's a very talented guy. I like Olenov. Hopefully they can reschedule it, or both guys can get another fight in Glory in the upcoming months. Hrak Gagorian gets a victory over Lim Nabiyev. He was able to play his game, close distance land power combinations to the body. A lot of people asked me about this one. They said, man, Alim Nabiyev, they felt like he just didn't go for it. Just, he was more skilled, didn't use his savviness. Of course, you guys know I'm big on Alim Nabiyev. I've been talking about him since he was 15 years old, 15, 14. I think the first time I see him fight, he was 15. And he's got the switch style, he's got the savviness, he's got the charisma, the step knees, the length. He's a very, very talented fighter. I always want to see this guy compete. There is such a thing as it not being your night. And for me, it just wasn't his night. That's how I see this fight. I did, without question, that is how I see the outcome of this fight. That is what happened. He was able to get into his offensive flow successfully for a little bit, in spots. But Gregorian, you know, used to the weight class, very strong, able to walk him down, able to score, his wide shots. And Alim played that game here and there, and that's not his game. I just think that tools-wise, it wasn't his night. But he could fight for the title again in 5 months and win it. Win it easy. You know, he could fight for the title again in a year and win it. He is still talented enough to be the best guy in the world. And sometimes, you know, Hurak Gregorian, how many cracks did he have at elite guys before he finally got his breakthrough? Mirtha Grunart, how many cracks did he have? I don't think it's going to take, you know, Alim near as long as that. But how awesome was it that that came together? Like, that's really, I mean, I was really, really pleased that that all went down that way and that Alim Nabiyev was able to put in good work in defeat, but in a way where it's like, I've got to get back on the horse, I got to go back to work, and I got to perform better in the next one. Hurak Gregorian, he's your reigning champion. Any fight's good for him. I would love to see it if they want to do Cedric Doumbé. Like, that's another good option. He's an awesome fighter. I want to see him compete as much as possible as our reigning champion at welterweight. Finally, I wrap the card up with Rico Verheerven as he wins yet again against Mladen Brestovic. Rico's the truth. We already know it. He's the best kickboxer, heavyweight kickboxer on the planet. And the real question with Rico, and it's one that I've been answering, is does his skill set hold up in the history of kickboxing? Because I remember, and I'm telling you, people still say it with speed to this day. They talk about how they don't feel his skill set would work really well internationally. Against the history of kickboxing. So they look at Remy Bunjowski's era. And I watched Remy's era. And everybody hated Remy until he got older. But they were not, well, I won't say everybody. But I'd say a good majority of people were like, man, Remy's not this, he's not this, he's not this. They talked about what he wasn't and who he couldn't be. And the fact that he didn't beat anybody when he won his K-1 World Grand Prix. They didn't like that the matchups really worked in his favor. And then he goes out the next year and he wins the longest K-1. I mean, probably one of the longest times any fighter in the history of kickboxing has ever fought in one night. He goes out there and I'm telling you at, what, he is 6'4", 228. You know, he carries that body and puts on a great performance where he beats Hoost, where he is arguably losing, and then a head kick saves him, as he goes against Francois Botha, and then, of course, fighting the unnecessary 5 rounds that he did with the battleship, as they were calling him, Masasi. He's just a talented guy, and he put on a great run, and he didn't get his due at all during his time. Is Rico Verheerven going to go through that? That is a question that I've been asking myself over and over and over. Are people going to look at Rico when he's done and say, you know what, he really was great? Because right now people are giving him his due as the king of kickboxing, no longer the prince. He is the king. He's beating people in clear, one-sided decisions, and he's more dominant the second time than the first time, as we saw in this situation. Clean kickboxing, really, you know, if you don't give up the head kick to Brestovic, you're usually going to have success. But he's just a real, really talented guy, and I do think that if he were to go against a prime Ignashov, a prime Bardahari, a prime Peter Arts, a prime, Andy Hoog, I don't look at his skill set and say, no way he'd be good against those guys. I see it the opposite. I think that he could be a good kickboxer at any era of kickboxing, period. Do you really think that Mike Bernardo would just easily beat him? Mike Bernardo didn't easily beat the guys that he beat. Like, there were matchups that worked his way, and of course he's a hitter. He showed up when the lights turned on. Mike Bernardo really could throw big-time shots, but he was susceptible to low kicks. So I really think that Verheerven his defense, his movement, his boxing, and of course that impressive low kick game. I think his skill set holds up with any era in the history of kickboxing. He's really, really talented as a heavyweight. We move on to Infusion, and another card that went down in England. It went down this past weekend. It was headlined by Amon Barlow versus Laura Fernandez. Amon Barlow getting the decision. Amon Barlow is just a special fighter. You know, I wish that she was. It didn't work out for her in Glory. I wish that it did because she's so, so talented. Learning kickboxing more. And this is someone who's got a full rules Muay Thai resume. That's their background. That's her background. That's what she's used to. And yet she's been doing kickboxing at a high level and she's been finding her spots. She's doing it the hard way. She works a regular job. She goes out and kickbox, goes back, works a regular job, works out at night. She's really putting in the effort to be the best in the world without making the money of the best person in the world. But she's going to need different fights to get different opportunities. Like that's just to move up. Like she's winning against the opposition that's going her way. Some period of time, hopefully the Glory platform will be presented to her. And, you know, we'll see if it is or not. But hopefully it will. And I'd be excited if she's able to really have some success. Because I do think that she's talented enough to compete with anyone on the planet. And, you know, of course, I mentioned before when she lost to Mexen, I guess she'd been in a motorbike accident. She was injured going into it, but she's just who she is. She's a fighter. She's going to go out there and fight. So shout out to Amon Barlow, who I've known for a very, very long time. Of course, a lot of you guys have heard me call her my daughter on this podcast before because I've known her since she was like 15 years old. But she's a talent, and I'm super excited that she got this victory. Christopher Shaw, gets a victory over Simon Santana. Christopher Shaw is one of the fighters that I cannot believe this guy's not fighting international. He's got such a good style for both Muay Thai and for kickboxing. He really can bring hands to low kick flow. Like, he's a talent. I really want to see more of this guy. Like he's so good. So I'm hoping that down the road we can get Christopher Shaw on a big organization. Infusion's a big opportunity, don't get me wrong. Please don't let me feel like I'm putting Infusion down. But I'd like to see how his skill set does in Japan, how his skill set does in some of the guys against Glory. Christopher Shaw is very, very good. We move on. Juan Cervantes gets a victory over Mehdi Fasil by knockout, and that was the first round. Cervantes, I want to see more of him. I'm not going to really talk about him in length until I get to see more of a, you know, how he does on an international resume, but it's definitely a good one here. Leif Chagert gets a stoppage victory over Marian Lapuzinov. I apologize for messing that name up. But Miriam, another stoppage for Leif. Want to see more moving forward there. Amy Perny gets a first-round knockout over Aline Saberth. I'm a big Amy Perny fan. She is one of the better fighters in the world in the small weight classes. When I do my next list of the best fighters, top 15, she'll be on it because Perny's been winning consistently for a while. She's proved to be the best in England in the smaller weight classes. She competes around 108 pounds, 110 pounds, maybe less sometimes. She's a talent, and I want to see her move forward. Amari Dietrich also gets a stoppage victory, and so did a unanimous decision victory for Kyle Todd on that Infusion card. So definitely a lot of good stuff, and I'm always excited to see the best of kickboxing and how it does and, you know, who it does it, you know, who they do it against. And it's just, it's really, really good to see Infusion still putting on shows on a regular basis. Because there are moments where I was like, hey, they're doing good. And then there are moments like, hey, I'm not so sure. And, of course, they've had all those really weird situations with, you know, Muhammad Raya and, you know, the judging situation last year. Just some weird spots. But I'm happy when they're doing well and they're doing shows because we need more kickboxing opportunities. So keep them coming. Got a kickboxing card that's going on tonight, so I don't know if you guys will be listening to this before it goes down, but Friday Night Fights is going to be headlined by Ogden Topic. He will go against Miguel Martinez. Topic's coming off a win over this in 1FC. Very, very talented guy. Good offense. I really like him a lot. Troy Jones Jr. will go against Ariel Abreu. Talented guys, both. Jones, of course, had his Glory debut in LA. Fought very well there. Ariel Abreu, very talented amateur in the New York area, is making his pro career. Strong kid, big fan base there, so that one should be a lot of fun. Jose Vega gets a victory over Mateo Maldonado, and or excuse me, gets a little matchup with Mateo Maldonado. My apologies. I'm so used to reading how my notes are laid out. I have winner on left, loser on the right. And when I was just going down this card, it's already made up for me, kind of a copy and paste thing. I read it as a result when I really just meant this is the matchup. So my apologies there. Maldonado's fought for Friday Night Fight before. Jose Vega, also a regular in the area. That should be a good one. Kit Fung will go against Julio D'Ambrosio. And then we have George Pitsatsky against Ethan Geffen. And David Abayagi against Clifford Francois. Clifford is a 155er to be paying attention to. So really good stuff. Good stuff from that card. I'm always excited to see Friday Night Fights. And again, notice how many fight opportunities I keep bringing up. You know, like, it's, I've always been excited about the kickboxing product. But, man, we are doing a good job of putting consistent shows out there. So I'm going to wrap the card up by talking about the K-1 featherweight tournament that's going down this weekend. And it's, well, excuse me, it is, what is it? I believe, let me go ahead and give you the right, it's at 57.5 kgs. So it's their featherweight division, but I wanted to go ahead and get that full. So I'll go ahead and break down some of the fights. First of all, there is a fight where Minoru Kimura, who's moving up in weight, will be fighting at 67.5 kgs. He'll be going against Melsik Bagdasarian. That should be all fireworks. Definitely two big hitters there. That should be a lot of fun. Makoto Uehara goes against Hisaki Kato at heavyweight. Their heavyweight division's really kind of light heavyweight for glory, so those guys are kind of floating around. It says 90 kgs plus, but the guys are really close to 90 kgs, so they're not very huge. But Makoto, of course, has got the really cool, you know, entrances, and he loves, you know, hip-hop culture, so sometimes he has breakdancers. So that one should be a lot of fun. Always like watching Makoto compete. He's had some wins in glory in the past. Hideki Yamazaki will go against Jun Nakazawa. I've talked about Hideki on the show before. He's very talented. Hopefully that'll be a good outcome for him, a good showcase for him. Don't count out Nakazawa, but I like Hideki in that fight. Koya Arube, I've got two of my kids I talked about in the show. He will be going against Black Dragon. That one will take place at 62.5 kgs. Koya Arube, the southpaw, super slick. He brings it. Everything this kid is good, must-see TV. Should be a lot of fun for me anyways, but for everybody who watches it. So then we get into our featherweight tournament field. We got Hiromuya Sekio as he goes against Hirotaka Asahashi. And then we have Ryusei Ishizawa. They take on Silvio Vitez. And then we've got Yuta Murakoshi against Elias Muhammadi. And we have Kato Azawa against Jorge Varela. And then we have Yuta Otaki against Yuki Egawa. This is the most important thing I want to tell you about this tournament field. This is the showcase to give someone the opportunity to become a star, to be known. I think these are solid names. You know, Azawa is a solid name. I think these are solid names in this field. Otaki, you know, these are, you know, and then, of course, Ishizawa. These are solid names. The international guys that they brought in at the weight class, they could have brought in some different athletes, but I'm fine with these athletes. Elias Mahmoudi is very, very talented. Definitely want to see that kid fight. But the winner of this one has the opportunity to go from not known that much to known. So that's what I really, really like about this Japanese card. So definitely that's going down to the Saitama Super Arena. That's going down to the 17th. I am so grateful I was able to sit down and give you guys this kickboxing action. There are a couple of other super fights that are going down in that card. The other super fights are Saki Nori is going to go against Vincent Fosciani. I do not believe that's a title fight. I just believe it's just a straight-up fight. Of course, you guys know about Masaki Nori. I've now mentioned all of my kids on this podcast with Masaki Nori. Always exciting to see. Yoshihiro Kido will go against Masaru Glunder. Definitely a always must-see with Kido because he's such a showman outside of the ring and the way he sells himself. He's a lot of fun. I'm a big Yoshihiro Kido fan. He's going to go against Glunder, who, I mean, he made his name with the victory over Masaki Nori, and that's kind of what got the international opportunities going for him. So shout out to him. And then we have Gunapar, Worst of Rec, who they just love because he just brings the violence every time, win, lose, or draw. He will go against Ampo Rukia. And then we have, you know, Suzuki Hayata against Kondo Kase, Izawa Namito against Ito Kento. And I believe that is, I'm trying to make sure I get you guys. Yes, I believe that's the rest of the super fights. If I missed one, I apologize, but that is it. So thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast. As I mentioned before, I got you your K1. I got you your Infusion. I got you your, you know, smaller card in the Friday Night Fights. I got you your, you know, a Glory, of course, Stadium Muay Thai. This is a complete show for you. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for being a part of my kickboxing journey, because I really do love the sport and I want to see it flourish and I want to see the athletes that compete in it to have a lot of success. So thank you. God bless, and everybody have a good one. Peace.